All right, Shilling Show continues on a Turbo Tuesday edition of the program. Thanks for joining us weekdays at noon and online always at shillingshow.com. Always pleased to welcome here to the program a longtime guest. David Murata is the president of Murata Wealth Management. He's online at muratonmoney.com. And today we're talking about the stock market, some questions and answers. David, welcome back to the Shilling Show.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Okay, so the first question I have for you, it just appears that the stock market is disconnected from the economy. And I don't know if that's just my own perception, but it seems like the economy is going in one direction, which is down, down, down. And the market has been surprisingly recovering.
Yeah, the stock market is uncorrelated to unemployment. So unemployment numbers don't really matter to the stock market. The stock market is also a forward leading indicator, which means the stock market is looking at how is the economy going to be doing in a year and a half? And if you think about that, a year and a half from now, the stock market is probably appropriately valued. It's looking beyond the coronavirus to try to figure out where things are. And so the narratives when it looks like it's the worst, that's when the stock market starts to come back up, and when it looks like it's the best, that's when the stock market is more worried about it. And our brains are wired to a narrative that's going on in the markets and in society in general, and that narrative is a fallacy. It's probably one of the most profound things. That the narrative that's going on in the media is not the narrative that's going on in the stock market. The stock market is looking forward.
So, David, why is there this distortion in the narrative by the media?
Yeah, you know, it's because the media is reporting on current events, and in current events, there's a lot of stuff going on that's not very positive. We're still all sheltering in place. There's been a lot of us are not working. There's been layoffs, there's been furloughs, there's protesting in the streets, and that all seems pretty dismal. If you look out your window, you may not think it's as bad as it's all made out to be, because you may not have been impacted by that. In fact, a lot of us were not impacted by that. We're working from home and we're getting along just fine, And so those jobs are all still there, and they're all still coming back. But most people don't realize how the stock market works. The stock market works, first of all, less than a third of a percent of shares are traded every day on the stock market. So every stock market movement is on a third of 1% of the shares. If they're all selling, that is going to be a down day, because the market makers on the stock market are always offering to buy stock and to sell stock. That's the bid-ask spread that people talk about. And if all of the people are selling the stock, they get to move their price downward. And people trade in between the bid-ask spread. That's a pretty narrow range. And when there's more sellers, or when there's more buyers than sellers, then the stock market goes back up again.
Were you surprised at all, because we were talking last month kind of in the depths of all of this, at the speed, the rapidity of the market recovery?
It has been faster than some bear markets have been to recovery. We're not quite recovered yet. We've had six up days in the market. Today looks like it's going to be a slight down day, but we're within 5% of the all-time highs in the market. I think it's going to take a little bit for us to get that last 5%, but, because 5% in the market, that's 6 months, easily in the market going up, and that last 5% may take a while in coming. But I think we'll end the year higher than where we are now. I don't think there's a second bottom in store for us, so people who are waiting for that second bottom before they invest, I think they're going to be disappointed. Plus, if we had a second bottom, everybody who got out and went to cash would be afraid to get back in again. So it doesn't really work that way. You have to be right on two cases. You have to be right on the sell, and you have to be right on the buy. So far, I've had a couple of clients who've gotten out. One picked the very bottom day, and they got out, and they're now 30% less you know, that they've kind of locked in at that point. I don't know if they're what they're waiting for. If it goes back down 5 or 10%, I kind of expect them to get back in, but it was bad timing. I have another client who's gone mostly to cash, and that I think that's a mistake too. But he can afford it, so I'm not as worried about him.
So we should talk about this. We have an election cycle. We're in the midst of it right now, although in some ways it's eerily silent. It doesn't quite feel like it, but people sometimes are concerned looking historically at election cycles, and what advice do you have about that?
Yeah, you know, there was a Richmond investment company that, you know, earlier in January they mentioned at a dinner hosted for prospective clients that they were going to be getting out of stocks entirely, and I thought, you know, when it came about the downturn in March, I thought, too late. you know, but, you know, election cycles, we actually don't have enough statistics on election cycles for the statistics to be meaningful at all. You know, there have been just 22 or 23 different presidential elections going all the way back to either 1928 or 1932. And if you flipped a coin 22 times, the odds of getting exactly 11 heads is less than 17%. But the wisdom about election cycles seems to be if a Republican is elected, they're up 15.3%. If a Democrat is elected, they're only up 7.6%. For election years being, on average, 11% positive. But those statistics are skewed by the 2008 election in which Obama was elected, but he wasn't even in office when the market went down. And he's sort of credited for all of the downturn. So the Democrats really get hit by that, and they really shouldn't, because the markets are going up or down very rarely, depending upon who's in the White House and who's not in the White House. You know, fortunately in this country we have a two-party system, and in the two-party system, deadlock is the norm, and deadlock is wonderful. The markets love deadlock. So unless one party sweeps all branches of government, the markets are really uninterested, if you will, in what's going on, because the compromise will be palatable to both groups. You know, so the election cycle is largely unimportant to how things are going.
We're talking with David Murata, the president of Murata Wealth Management. He's online at muratahonmoney.com. We come back for the next segment. I want to get into the topic of gold and also what about energy and where are we going from here? We've seen a drastic drop in the price of oil per barrel, and that does look like it's coming back. But what about energy in general? All of that, your questions, 977-1070, as The Shilling Show continues right after this.
And the sign said, long-haired, freaky people need not apply. So I took my hair up under my hat.
All right, final segment of The Shilling Show for today. We have stock market Q&A, and lots of interesting things going on right now, and most people, I think, are just looking at the surface, and as we talked about earlier, maybe falling to the narrative and not really understanding what's going on. 977-1070. David, let's go to the topic of gold. My goodness, if you listen to the radio right now, there's a lot of people who have been pushing gold, and I'm sure you've heard it, and it's all over the media, it's all over the internet. Whenever things get bad, there's a big push for gold.
Yeah, every time the market does poorly, those who are selling gold write articles. Only today the articles are a little bit difficult to write. I did the analysis from the last time I had recommended that you shouldn't have any gold. 6.5 years at the bottom of this market, the gold had still done worse than stocks have done. And you know, gold is touting, you know, gold at a 7-year high. That's because if you go back 8 years, it actually has losses. So gold has lost money for the past 8 years. And it's still a terrible idea. Gold, it has utterly failed to provide a safe haven of value. It's very volatile, and on average, it doesn't make any more than inflation does, maybe 2 or 3% a year, whereas the stock market is, you know, just as volatile, but or maybe even a little less volatile, but it has much better returns.
So, David, why do people continually look to gold with the same story being told every time the market goes down?
You know, it's interesting. Gold has this allure that gold is something you can hold in your hands. It's physical. It's there. But today's young people aren't buying gold. They're buying Bitcoin for much of the same reasons. They're buying Bitcoin because Bitcoin has promised this safe store of value, this phenomenal returns. But you don't hear about Bitcoin when it's trading low. You only hear about Bitcoin when it's going up. And now there's so many different currencies. There's Litecoin and Ethereum and Illyrium and all these different currencies. They all have the same inherent value, and that is, on average, they go up by inflation, unless, of course, they don't. And then they just kind of go out of the way.
So Bitcoin, in some ways, is like gold, but in other ways, it's exactly the opposite, because it is completely intangible. You can't hold a Bitcoin. You can't see it. It's just out there in the ether somewhere. It seems very strange to me.
It's true. And, you know, at the end of the world, I don't think either gold or Bitcoin is going to be worth anything. You know, I think you should have liquid assets like rum, and that'll be worth something, because everyone can take a shot of rum.
Well, didn't you once recommend bullets? I think that was the Drudge Report a few years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was I think 23rd on the list of things to have in an emergency, and that got picked up by the Drudge Report.
Let's talk about energy stocks. Very, very weird, but I guess we could have predicted that if the worldwide economy went in the tank like we've never seen it before, that the demand for oil and energy in general would be way down, and that's certainly what happened.
Yeah, and energy went from having a tilt toward energy because it was undervalued to last month it had a P/E ratio of 96, meaning it cost $96 to buy a dollar of earnings. And we just got in the dynamic tilt for this month, and it's when earnings go to zero, the forward P/E ratio goes to infinity. And when it goes negative, it actually goes to negative infinity and then starts coming back down again. Forward P/E ratio on energy stocks is negative 750 or so, which means that they're going to lose money for the next year. On the odd hand, you know, on an odd sort of note, energy stocks have actually been doing okay, because people know that at some point energy stocks will come back and we'll have good returns on them. So the underweight to energy is appropriate right now, but energy stocks are now just underweight. So we're investing about half of what we normally invest in energy in those.
In the post-coronavirus world, I'm thinking about what might be companies that would have a lot of business, and certainly things are going to change as companies that will go out of business, but others that will jump up. And I'm thinking about companies that have to do with cleaning and sanitation. I wanted to get your take on that and perhaps other sorts of businesses that will be very successful going forward.
Yeah, you know, it really is at this point a market of stocks and not a stock market. Some things are doing very well and some things are doing terrible. During the shutdown, apparently all the puzzle companies sold out. And Clorox, you know, has been doing well. And all of the online things to try to keep us safe have been doing well. We've been going to the grocery store, but second to the grocery store is Lowe's and Home Depot have been doing very well, as people are trying to increase the value of their homes. They're doing all those home projects that they were worried about, while the value of New York real estate has come way down, the value of more suburbs and rural real estate have gone up. You know, it used to be we all wanted to invest in a micro apartment in the city and do all of this kind of stuff. Now city living, for two different reasons, really has no appeal. And what has the appeal is a home garden and a nature trail and all of these other things that are going on. We need a bonus room to do our work, because we're working out of the home now, so that they become very important. Mm-hmm. A mud room to sort of detox as you're coming home. Separate bathrooms to try to keep everyone separate. And all of these things on home projects have become much more important.
Yeah, my recent trips to Lowe's here locally bears out what you're saying. I've never seen it so crowded in my life. I wanted to get to another topic, and we got just a couple minutes left with David Morata, and it is the fear of inflation with all this money that's been pumped into the economy. I recently had economist Steve Moore on the program, and he told me that he was more concerned about deflation, but that didn't seem to make sense to me. So what are your thoughts on inflation and battling inflation if you think it's going to be a problem?
Yeah, you would think that with all the money that's been poured into the economy from 2000 that we would have a fairly high inflation. And we haven't, and that's been a little bit of a surprise to a lot of traditional economists. But if we do have inflation going forward, the most important resources to have, first of all, having everything in stocks is the right way to go with inflation, because the stock market is going to make some return above inflation, and as the value of a company just goes up and down by inflation, plus the added work that they're doing, which adds value. So if we do have inflation, it's good to have a primarily stock portfolio to keep up with inflation. And, you know, I would have thought that we would have inflation by now, but we haven't. So I'm a little bit surprised by that. But, you know, the market and the economy always surprises me. But whether we have inflation or not, it's better to be invested in stocks and then have just bonds for the next 5 to 7 years of safe spending.
Indeed. And we've talked before over the years about the manipulation by the government of inflation numbers and how they do that. So we have heard and seen, at least empirically, that food prices are way up. And I'm just wondering if you think there's any manipulation playing a part of this inflation numbers.
Yeah, food prices are up because of the disruption in the delivery. Mm-hmm. So meat packing places, there's only a few big meat packing places in the country, and they've been disrupted. So they're having trouble getting everything together to bring it to us. I think you'll find that food prices come back down after as the economy opens back up. It's one of the things that had to keep going no matter what. And now that the economy is opening back up, I think we'll see a relief in food prices. But it's one of the reasons why home gardens are so important. Mm-hmm. And the regulations on slaughtering animals is one of the reasons why food prices have been so high. You can't slaughter animals on the same farm that you raise them everywhere in the world. Virginia does have a chicken exemption. You can slaughter chickens on the farm where you raise them, but a lot of other services, you actually have to take them off the farm and send them to a meat slaughtering factory in order to do that. So a lot of regulations have sort of gotten in the way of what seems like sensible ways of doing business with the coronavirus. I don't know if we're going to have any review of those regulations or not. They have let loose on a little bit of those regulations in the coronavirus, but they can't seem to do that fast enough.
David Morata, if people would like to be in touch with you, have questions or comments, or just want to chat about finances, how can they do that?
MorataOnMoney.com has a contact us page. And if you email us a question, we will probably answer it.
Okay. David, thank you so much, as always, for joining us today on The Shilling Show. You shed a lot of light on the subject, and we really appreciate it.
Great. Thank you for having me.